I will first give an overview of Basque identity. At first sight, it might be very easy to talk about Basque identity within what we may call the Basque country or the Basque realm. However, it's rather difficult because there is no congruence between the diverse dimensions of identity. Like Russian dolls, identities may be nested. For instance, a Basque person may identify with the Basque country. At the same time, he or she may identify with the European Union or with its locality. On the other hand, identities may also be expressed in a position on a continuum. For instance, one may feel exclusively Basque or exclusively Spanish, but more frequently is a position observed somewhere in between on a continuum. And finally, there are what I call identity profiles in each of the zones of the Basque country. Those identity profiles composed of ethnic self-perception, political identification and cultural practice, they are all asymmetric. And now I will just explain about those asymmetric identity profiles. And I will do that explaining that by large regions. Let me first explain the identity profile of the Basque Autonomous Community, sometimes also called Euskadi. In Euskadi, the predominant self-perception is Basque. People identify as Basques. On the other hand, looking at voting behavior, then they vote for Basque nationalist parties as well as Spanish statewide parties. And in voting, it is about 50-50. It's depending also upon whether they vote for regional elections, then they have a majority vote for the nationalist parties or for the national Spanish elections. And finally, if we look at linguistic practice in the Basque Autonomous Community, then most of the people, by far a majority of about 75%, they speak Spanish at home. Well, let me now look at the identity profile of Navarre. In Navarre, Basque is minoritarian as a language. Only 10% of the Navarrese Basques, they speak Basque at home. They identify mostly as Navarrese, as regional Navarrese, and as Basque. So they show a kind of hybridity, which is also the case in the French Basque country. In the French Basque country, there is a strong hybrid self-perception. It's about 50-50 of the people who identify as French as well as Basques, all to a certain degree. On the other hand, French Basques, they vote for French statewide parties. And that's not only the case for national parliamentary elections, but also for the elections at the very local levels, like the canton elections for the so-called département. Finally, the French, in the French Basque country, or the French Basques, they have the most important share of Basque speaking among their population. So they are mostly Basque speaking, French voting, and hybrid in their self-perception. Those profiles, those identity profiles, so they are just very different by regions. Talking about self-perception, then there is also a very strange phenomenon. It depends on who is considered to be a Basque, on where you are and who you are. If you are, for instance, a Basque-speaking person living in a Basque-speaking environment, then language is the most important criterion to be considered as a Basque. On the other hand, if you are a non-Basque-speaking person, you're living in an environment with mostly Spanish or French-speaking Basques, then living or being born, that's the most important criterion, being born in the Basque country, that's the most important criterion to be considered as a Basque. So Basque identity it is quite a complex phenomenon due to asymmetric identity profiles and also due to different conceptualizations of self-perception.
Conventionally, one might distinguish between Basque, French, and Spanish identities within the Basque realm. However, in reality, it's quite difficult to distinguish as clearly as might be thought. This is because there is no congruence between the diverse dimensions of identity. First, there is ethnic self-perception. Secondly, there is political identification. And third, there are cultural practices, particularly the usage of language. Let me just explain the lack of congruence. Well, first, there is a lack of congruence between areas, how people within certain zones think about identity, how they vote politically, and what they do regarding linguistic practice. And secondly, people may hold various beliefs, do different things in one and the same person.
Most Basque nationalists would say that Euskal Herria, the Greater Basque Country, is the historical Basque Country. Others, however, would say that the medieval kingdom of Navarre of Sancho the Great, about 1000, the year 1000, would be the first experience of a kind of Basque proto-statehood. If we go back to the Middle Ages, then it's rather difficult to demarcate exactly Navarre or a certain thing which might be the Basque Country, because in the Middle Ages borders were rather fluid and vague. They had changing boundaries due to marriage policies of kings, princes, dukes, nobles, etc. Moreover, it was a patchwork of regional privileges, later known under the name of Fueros. In fact, throughout history, there are some interesting events and some impressive events in the Basque Country. The first is the Treaty of the Pyrenees between France and Spain in 1659. The north, Iparralde, the northern Basque Country, went definitively to France. Meanwhile, the south, that is the present-day Basque Autonomous Community and Spanish Navarre, went to Spain. This had a consequence of an early incorporation into a centralizing state in the north, in France. Meanwhile, in the south, there was a different situation in which the regional privileges, the fueros, lasted a longer time than in the north. In Spain, the erosion of those regional privileges started only with the coming of the Bourbon kings in 1700. If we go now and jump to the end of the 19th century, then we see that the Basque Country, both in the north as well as in the south, was an economically weak region. This was reflected in immigration to the Americans and migration to the more prosperous areas of Spain and France. Of course, the contexts were different. France was an early centralizing state. Meanwhile, Spain was centralizing at a lower pace. Finally, in Spain, the fueros were abandoned in 1877. The French context, it's important also because there was an early introduction of mass education, of formal mass education in 1870 during the Third Republic in France. This has led to an early Gallicization, a Frenchification, and moreover, there was an early encounter with democracy. The borders in France, they were borders that did not respect cultural areas at all. The most important regional border in the Basque Country, it encompasses both the Basque realm in the Pyrenees Atlantique, that's the name of the so-called département, the regional unit. It is Basque in the west, and it is Occitan in the east. The early separation between the church and state is another aspect that differs the French context from the Spanish context. The early separation between the church and state in 1907 was another issue that distinguished France from Spain. Let me now go to Spain and jump to the 19th century. The administrative borders in Spain, they were in line with the old fueros. So the provinces that were created in the early 19th century, they respected the old border lines of the fueros. There were important developments in the economic field in the area of Bilbao, because from about 1875 onward, there was a real heavy industrialization, an accelerated industrialization of Bilbao, of the area around Bilbao. This resulted not only here in a boom of steel industry, ship wars, and later chemical industry, but it also resulted in a lot of pollution and moreover, which was concerning the petty bourgeoisie of Bilbao, an immigration from the rest of Spain. So Bilbao, by the end of the 19th century, had become a boom town, a real boom town, which was not only economically innovative, but also politically innovative. As such, Bilbao became the cradle of Basque nationalism, but it also was one of the places of origins of Spanish liberalism and Spanish socialism. It's often forgotten now. By the end of the 19th century, the French Basque country also was experimenting some changes, particularly on the coastal fringe. Very close to the coastline, there was urban development, and particularly there was a rise of the tourist industry. There was an urban development around Bayonne, and later on this became the origin of a agglomeration nowadays consisting of Bayonne, Anglais, and Biarritz, the famous coastal resort. In the interior, it was, and it still is, a rather backward rural area, which up to the 1960s was hardly touched by agricultural modernization. One up to 1936 finally resulted in successful negotiations of Basque nationalists with the Spanish authorities of Madrid about granting an autonomy status to the Basque autonomous community. In this autonomy statute, Navarre was not included, which is still a territorial grievance of many Basque nationalists. When the civil war broke out, Basques were divided, particularly the Basques in provinces of Álava and Navarre. They took the side of the Francoist troops. On the other hand, the Basques of Biscay and Guipúzcoa, they took the side of the Republicans. Let me now move to the Franco period, particularly the first during the first decade. Repression was very harsh. Not only Basque autonomy was banned, up to the early 1960s, repression of the left, particularly leftist parties and trade unions, and of Basque nationalism and Basque cultural expressions, particularly language, repression was harsh, very harsh. Navarre and Álava, as they fought together with the Franco troops during the Civil War, they got a privileged treatment. This privileged treatment consisted of special fiscal benefits. During the 1960s, up to the oil crisis, the Basque country, particularly in the area of Biscay, Guipúzcoa, they experienced those areas experienced an accelerated industrialization. This led again to a lot of pollution, and this led again to the coming of many new migrants from the rest of Spain. The 1960s saw also a birth and a growth of ETA, and finally, as we know, this has resulted in the rise of terrorism. Let me now move to the post-Franco period. There has been a period of democratic transition for the whole of Spain, which has been particularly difficult in the Basque realm. This was first because of a lack of consent with the newly created Spanish democratic institutions, for instance the constitutions. This was also more difficult because of violence by ETA, and finally, during the period of 1980 up to the mid-1980s, there was a problem because of counter-violence, illegitimate and illegal counter-violence by the state, in particularly by death squads, the so-called GAL, Grupos Antiterroristas de Liberación. Finally, one important fact of newly gained democracy was the recognition of autonomy. The recognition of autonomy led to an autonomy statute for the Basque Autonomous Community on the one hand, and finally, during the 1980s and 1986, to a new charter statute, an improved charter statute for Navarre. There is still a claim of Basque nationalism to join those two communities. But in fact, both communities have experienced a devolution of many powers from Madrid. So there are now competences in many fields of economy, culture and security in the Basque country. And on the coast, there is a lot of tourist development, and this has resulted in the purchase of many second homes by people from outside the regions, and also by a settlement of Basques from the south in the area. As a consequence, there is a rising cost for housing of locals, particularly young couples, young people who cannot find cheap houses, cheap affordable houses. So the claims of the Basque nationalists in the French Basque country, they are for cheap houses for young locals. On the other hand, tourism as an important pillar under the local economy has led to an unstable and mostly seasonal employment and, of course, unemployment. It has led to a pressure on the housing market and also in the political discourse of the nationalists. It has also led to an undesired folklorization of Basque culture. What in general are the claims in Iparralde? Economic claims are innovative investments in clean industries for development and alternative projects for the rural areas like biological agriculture and so on. Eroalde, the south, it is and particularly the Basque Autonomous Community, it is one of Spain's economic core areas. And Navarre is present showing also an accelerated economic development of the service industry. If we take the history of economic development, then there have been important development based on large-scale heavy industrialization in Biscay around Bilbao, and the old industrial areas have been successfully transformed into a service economy nowadays. Regarding investments in large-scale infrastructure like high-speed trains and the Bilbao metro and so on, there are no deep conflicts between the Spanish state and the Basque region, but instead there are conflicts between radical nationalism and, let's say, the rest. Finally, the renewed economic growth of the Basque region leads to the incoming of migrants, and this has resulted about concerns about Basque culture, because most of those migrants, they are Spanish-speaking, and they might again erode Basque culture and Basque singularity. The roots of the independence movements go all back to Sabino de Arana y Goiri, who was the founder of the Basque Nationalist Party, the Partido Nacionalista Vasco, at the end of the 19th century. Sabino Arana had different views about independence during his lifetime. Sometimes he was in favor of a total independence of Biscay without demarcating very clearly its territory, and sometimes at a later period in his life he was in favor of autonomy. If we review present-day independency politics in the Basque Country, then there is an enormous discrepancy between political rhetoric on the one hand and political practice on the other. All political parties that are Basque nationalist parties, they claim a greater Basque Country. They call that Euskal Herria. So they agree about the final aim that will be independency of Euskal Herria. However, pragmatism in daily politics shows that there are many, many differences between the political parties. I will just highlight the most important differences, and I will start off with the bigger parties and movements in the Basque realm. In Egoalde, the most important parties are first the historical party, the Partido Nacionalista Vasco, and secondly, its split off Eusko Alkartasuna. What they claim in practice, in political practice, is a kind of co-sovereignty of the Basque Autonomous Community with Spain. A kind of conceptualization, they claim, of Spain, a kind of restructuring of Spain into a sort of loose confederation. However, the PNV, the Partido Nacionalista Vasco, is more rooted, historically rooted, in regional privileges of smaller units, the so-called fueros, while the Eusko Alkartasuna is more rooted in social democratic values. Those two parties, PNV and EA, they are democratic ones and they are relatively moderate. Now going to the more radical movement, then political parties have been known under several names because they have been respectively banned and later on they were renewed and established under other names. So the most well-known name is Herri Batasuna or Batasuna, both banned. There has been also a small era in which the name was Euskal Herritarrok, and this party under different names occupies a similar position as Sinn Féin in Northern Ireland. Movement for National Liberation is a kind of self-dominated name for all the radical groups that claim Euskal Herria, and they show a significant overlap with the so-called Izquierda Abertzale, the patriotic left. Batasuna, Herri Batasuna, and all those sister organizations, they generally condone violence and they claim Euskal Herria. However, this should also be qualified because during their conversations in 2006 with the Zapatero administration, they gave the impression to see the unification with Navarre as a first step to independence. After the 1998-1999 self-declared ceasefire of ITA, there has been a split off from the radical movement and a small party with relatively few seats in the regional parliament of the Basque Autonomous Community has been created, that has been created under the name of Aralar, it's also the name of a mountain range in between the Basque Autonomous Community and Navarre. Aralar, in contrast to Batasuna, is violence rejecting. And finally, in the north, in Iparralde, there is one party which is important, one nationalist party, that is Abertzalean Batasuna. Translated, this means patriotic unity, which occupies a similar position as Aralar. They claim, in fact, at a rhetorical level, Euskal Herria as their unit, but in practical politics, they claim a separate Basque département, a separate regional unit, because now the Basque Country forms part of this wider unit of the Pyrénées Atlantique, of which it occupies about half the territory. Let me finally tell you something about the regional support base. First, the PNV, the Partido Nacionalista Vasco, dominates the historical territory in the northwest of the autonomous community of the Basque Country, that is Biscay, of which Bilbao is the capital. and most support for independency, for ride-out independency, can be found in Gipuzkoa, which is also on the coast in Autonomous Community of the Basque Country, capital San Sebastian, or in Basque Donostia. And finally, the support base for nationalism and for independency is relatively weak in the south of the Autonomous Community of the Basque Country, in Navarre, and in the north, in Iparralde. In Spain, during a democratic transition, resulting in a new constitution of 1978, the new administrative structure of the state has resulted in a devolution of powers to the Basque Autonomous Community and Navarre. However, since then there is a constant tension between Madrid and the Basque Autonomous Community, in particular about the type of powers to be transferred, as well as the pace of these transfers. So this tension is constant between Madrid and the Basque Autonomous Community. Nowadays, there have been claims for referendums about self-determination and about co-sovereignty, and they have been rejected by the Spanish government. And mainly, there are two reasons. First, all plans and all projects for co-sovereignty and self-determination are incompatible with the Spanish constitution, and the second argument applied by the Spanish government is that at the background there is still a continuity of ETA violence. In France, there is an almost total neglect of independency claims for a Basque département, and the argument provided by the French government is that the independence movement of Basques is just an internal Spanish problem. It's not a French internal problem, it is a Spanish problem. In fact, the decentralization up to the turn of this century has been cosmetic, and nowadays there is a growing sensitivity towards identity claims, in particular by the Ministry of Education, orchestrated from the Académie in Bordeaux, the capital of the Aquitaine region.
An important cross-border program of the European Union is the Interreg program. And there is one very concrete result, that is the construction and establishment of a fair in Chinguri, the Fair of Chinguri, which is a local collaboration project in which three municipalities are involved. Those are the towns of Irun and Hondarribia, south of the border, and Andai, north of the border. And the fair is constructed on Spanish territory, but very, very close to the Spanish and French border. There also has been some town twinning, for instance, the towns of Bayonne in the French Basque Country and Pamplona are twinned. In general, there is a bias in those Interreg cross-border projects towards economy and infrastructure. And in fact, it is to the detriment of Basque culture. Of course, Basque culture plays a role, a rhetorical role, in those cross-border projects. But most of the money goes to economic and infrastructural projects. Secondly, the second observation which can be made concerns the effects. The effects are mostly very local. They don't have a spread effect, not in an economic sense, and perhaps even less in the sense of public opinion or public consciousness. The perceptions of common projects in politics, in cross-border politics and cross-border policies, these perceptions differ according to the political sympathies of the people. For instance, in PNV circles in the Basque Autonomous Community, these perceptions and the representations, they may speak about successful pan-Basque efforts, while on the French side of the border, they may speak about the successes in a more technical and policy sense. And they may also attribute those successes to the French region of Aquitaine or the French département of the Atlantic Pyrenees. Another important aspect of cross-border politics is a kind of unification of Basque nationalism. Of course, the political parties, nationalist parties of the south, they are also active in the north, but they hardly have any political support. Therefore, political cross-border institutionalization of Basque nationalism is extremely limited, and it is rather fragmentation than unification that is salient. A similar phenomenon can be observed in pan-Basque cultural institutions that foster Basque medium education and that promote Basque adult literacy programs. Those associations, those cultural associations, are hardly represented in parts of Iparralde, in parts of Navarre, and in parts of Álava. Finally, there is some collaboration between France and Spain, but not the French Basques and the Spanish Basques, and that refers to policing ETA suspects. And this policing has been significantly increasing from the mid-1980s, because before the mid-1980s, Iparralde was a kind of sanctuary for ETA. And nowadays, it is no more a sanctuary for ETA.